This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
One o'clock hour. It's a Fan Club Friday here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Cody stepped out for a second. He's making some drinks. He's getting what we need for the drinks today. He's working on that. Mackenzie Nelson from 41 joining us. It's been a little while since we had Mackenzie in studio. First off, how are things going? How have you been?
Good. I feel like I have not seen you guys in a very long time. I'm excited to be joining you once again.
Pre-Super Bowl for sure. You were in New Orleans, right?
I was in New Orleans. Happy to be back.
Overall, other than the game being just ugh. You know?
Yeah, forgetting Sunday, how was the trip?
Okay, it was good. The weather was great, but this might be a hot take. Everybody says, oh, I can't wait to go to New Orleans, all the food. I mean, it's average.
Oh, wow.
Did you try the oysters? Did you try like the stereotypical beignets and all this kind of stuff?
The beignets, I feel like people are going to come at me, but it's like a funnel cake, but a square.
Oh, the powdered sugar.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
See, I like the beignets.
It kind of looks like a funnel cake.
But doesn't it taste the same to you?
Yeah, it's the same. Very similar. Yes, okay. Very, very similar.
I had a really good shrimp po' boy, like oysters, like stuff like that. The gumbo. Like, I mean, it was good, but I don't need to like rush back to get some food.
Okay. Yeah, I was there one time for a week in 2012, KU Final Four. And I was in college, so I probably enjoyed New Orleans more because of that, because Bourbon Street made it just all about drinking
basically
the entire time. I don't have a huge desire, although I heard from have you gone to the other two Super Bowls?
Yes.
So you can compare this better than we. So we were in Phoenix and Vegas, everything. Everybody says New Orleans, though, from a hosting perspective, it's better because unlike Vegas, you don't have to Uber everywhere to where we need to be. Whereas, I don't know where you stayed, but like in New Orleans, you can basically just walk right out of your hotel and you're just around everything. Was that a nice thing?
Yeah, so I was in Miami and then I was in Vegas. New Orleans was great because everything was so close in the convention center, which was great. But Vegas was kind of the same way. Like if you stayed in the media hotel, which was like the Luxor and Mandalay Bay or something, all you had to do was stay in the hotels, walk to the next one. And that's where, you know, Radio Row was, stuff like that. But I will say New Orleans, it was way easier to get around, and it just everything made more sense from a media perspective.
Gotcha. What are we drinking, Cody? What'd you make us?
Dry Manhattan.
Dry Manhattan.
So dry vermouth, rye whiskey. I don't know why I'm a little bit of bitters.
I don't know why I'm acting like I'm smelling. I can't smell.
I put the fancy cocktail cherries in the bottom.
Oh my god!
I was gonna take a whiff, and I realized, oh yeah, I can't smell.
Cheers, guys.
Dry Manhattan. I don't know if you like whiskey generally.
Mm-hmm.
Mackenzie, I don't know what your typical cocktail of choice is.
It's good.
It's not
usually
bad.
Usually, you know, tequila, margaritas.
Have you had this?
I do whiskey.
I have not. Let me taste it around.
I do like tequila. That's a regular, especially in a cocktail, like a margarita or like a reposado or Paloma.
Yeah,
those
so
are all
good.
Those are all winners.
Yeah, those are all
winners.
You like it?
It's good. I will say, before I drink it, I smelled it and I was like, oh yeah, I think I'm going to like this.
Okay. Like, it just depends. If you like rye whiskey, it's like watered down. A lot of times when you do stuff with vermouth and bitters, It's like almost drinking like a softer rye whiskey rather than just
like
drinking rye whiskey.
I fruity drinks, guys. I like
it. No, yeah, this is not a fruity
drink. It's okay if you only like the fruity drinks. It's okay.
No, I'm not saying it's bad. I don't know if I'm just like, I taste something like it. I don't know if I'm just not in the mood to have whiskey right now or what, but that might be part
it's
of it.
It's definitely a whiskey-based drink.
If you're sick, it's going to clear your sinuses out.
No, Mackenzie.
This is a long COVID problem.
I have not been able to smell since last December, as in December of 2023.
Screwed.
So I can't smell. So my whole taste of some alcohol is all off.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately. Which for something like, not that I take shots very often, but like I'll tell you, the shots go down really easy now.
Right?
I mean,
yeah.
the shots go down very easily.
Oh, you taking shots?
That's what I said. I don't take them very often, but when I'm at the bullpen, the neighborhood bar.
This is actually. Do you always work on Fridays, Mackenzie?
I do. Yeah.
Oh, every Friday?
I do.
Like 2 weeks from now, could you have some available? What time do you get off? Like 11? It's pretty late.
So I do the 6 and 10 o'clock shows on Fridays. Yeah,
that's too late. So 2 weeks from today, I had told. So you weren't privy to this, but. I had told the audience a couple weeks ago. So this show was waiting to find out whether or not we were going to be well rated.
Ooh.
So we waited for the ratings, in which case we were number one in the market for midday shows and the demographic in which we need to be number one for whatever. Right.
Yeah.
And I had promised that if we did that, we would use some of the show money and like the money we were given by Odyssey for doing that. And we would host a happy hour for that. So happy to say 2 weeks from today, we have $750 of personal money, not like they gave it to us. We'll be at Kelly's at 6:30 Friday night, 2 Fridays from today. So the 7th at 6:30. They, because we've got a good partnership with Kelly's, are going to let us have the upstairs patio area.
Mm-hmm.
$750. And then Sazerac, you mentioned the shots, made me think of it. Sazerac, who we've done some stuff with before, they've offered a $250 tab specifically for Fireball.
Oh,
so
God.
$250 Fireball tab, and then $750 of our personal discretionary money going directly towards a bar tab.
Well, how long are you guys going
to
be
there?
Hard
to say. I don't know. I mean,
depends how the
is
night goes.
All-nighter
depends
thing?
On how many people show up.
Can I come after the show?
Because otherwise, I don't know what kind of shape I'm going to be in by then, but sure.
So this will be.
I can't promise my company will be fantastic by then.
I might be having a cold coming on.
So, yeah, fill in the day. So this is 2 Fridays from now.
2 Fridays from now.
At Kelly's.
At Kelly's, 6:30 on the patio area. They've got like an upstairs covered patio area.
We will see you
That's
all there.
That's where we'll be. Just for anybody who. Really, the idea was. We would have never gotten this money unless listeners listen to the show.
That's how this works.
And then made us rate that way. So I'm just, you know, we're just going to use that money on you. Okay, we got this money. We're just going to use it on you since you technically gave it to us anyway.
That's
so
awesome, guys.
That felt like a good way to do it. Yeah. We're just going to take a portion of that cash, stash it out on a bar tab. This is not like sanctioned. It's not a sanctioned work event. We're just taking personal funds and going to Kelly's.
I think I know why you guys are the favorites then.
Because we're buying your love. You know?
Alcohol.
You know what? Honestly,
no, you
people
guys are great.
Buying your, you know, buying favor. What's the harm? You know?
No, it's very nice.
We'll continue to remind you guys about this next weekend leading up to it as well. We hope to see you guys out there coming up in a few Fridays at Kelly's in Westport. The last time we did something station related there, or 2 times ago, was remember when somebody came walking by and they thought 2 of our listener friends were my parents? Remember
that? You ended up getting a date out of it.
No.
Wait, what?
Wasn't that the time you got the date when we went to?
No,
like,
we texted. We never went on a date.
Oh, I apologize.
Yeah.
I just remember a girl's phone number being exchanged.
We never went on a date
near the space. So I
apologize.
Someone
thought viewers were your or listeners were
and they
your
were
parents.
That much older than Alex. They were only like 10 years older.
There was a listeners to the station. And he'll text in under True Green Thumb on the text line account.
True Green Thumb.
He's in landscaping, right? Naturally,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Him and his wife were there, and I was talking to them, and then the girl that Cody's talking about came up, talked to us, and then she's like, "Oh, is this your mom?" And so the joke now, whenever I see these two listeners, is like, "Oh, how's my son doing?" It's become a running joke now for years.
God.
That's what it is.
Again, and not
your mic is there. You go.
Sorry, not that much older than what we were talking about before, so it didn't make any sense, you know.
Yeah, but yeah, we'll see. Look, who knows? There's a chance by the time you're. When do you normally get out of 41? Like 10:40 or 10:30?
On Fridays, it just depends. We got games going on at night. I mean, we have our 10 o'clock show, so either way, I'm out of there by 10:30.
I think you could probably make it. You know. I think I'll still be in action by 10:30. Just the question is, and I'll try to have them reserve at least one drink's worth for you, you know?
I'll that's I don't know. You don't even have to do that. I just want to be there for the support, guys.
I don't know. Well, like some of the listeners obviously listen when you come on the segments with us.
We
right?
already told Drew he's not allowed to wear a Joe Burrow jersey. We don't need to set the. We don't need to make anybody angry and cause a fight.
No bar
or
fights,
this is about
like
camaraderie between us and the listeners of Cody and Gold.
The text line. Drew, I mean, the text line let you have it there. You know,
Cody, I wonder if this is an opportunity to see if we can outdrink each other. Who can outdrink who?
Oh wow!
Is this a true? This is an easy.
Is this a personal challenge? I'm gonna win that.
True. There's no way you're out drinking Cody.
I called him a lightweight one time on the show. He took great offense to it, Mackenzie. I said, "There's nothing wrong with that."
Are you? You can hold your alcohol. I don't know if I've ever been around you when you've been intoxicated.
Alex has.
Yes, I have.
Alex has.
Not
and I was
fully intoxicated. I've been around you like drinks and stuff.
Yeah, but, like a drink or two or a cocktail or two. Look, I don't get fully intoxicated very often, probably for wise reasons, but you know, I don't know.
Someone thinks the bar tab will be gone by 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock? They're only going to 90 minutes?
It depends how many people show up, but I mean, that thing can go pretty quick. You know that.
We got a G.
Over, under 90 minutes?
I would take the over, but I don't think they're far off. I don't think they're far off. If we get enough people out there, you know how quickly a tab runs up.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought offering $1,000 is pretty
it's very nice, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward
to that.
So fun. In a couple weeks. We were talking about baseball and everything, too. It just feels good to be talking about baseball and having the game back on the station as well.
That means summer's coming.
Yeah.
Some warmth.
I need it.
Enough of this cold.
You're not a cold weather person?
I mean, it was fine for a little bit, but I mean, nobody's like leaving their houses. Kids are not going to school. Like, it's too cold.
My kids finally went to school today. I had threatened that they were going to come to fan club if I was going to serve Shirley Temples to the kids. They were going to have to get out of the house.
Right here by me. Man. Now, I'm over the cold. I'm looking forward to baseball season.
Will you go out to Arizona at all for spring training? We're not out there. Vern's out there, but we weren't going to go out there this year. But
I'm not sure. I think it all just kind of depends, and then it depends on basketball season. Like, are we going with all three local teams to the tournament? Like, what are
McKenzie,
we doing?
I think it's going to be two. I got bad news for your Wildcats. I don't think you're going to have to follow your Wildcats.
Maybe.
I mean, they had a good run there for a minute, but
KU's run might be short too. So whoever wants to not be on the road as much should pick the Jayhawks compared to the Tigers. The way things are trending,
this is probably hard for you to talk about, Alex. But I mean, Mizzou has been really fun to watch. They've been really fun to watch.
No, we one of our leads yesterday on the show talking about the Tigers. Like, I think the expectation should absolutely be similar to what they did in 08-09.
Yeah.
That 08-09 Missouri team went to the Elite Eight.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's their best year in school history. I think that is in play. As we all know, it's the NCAA tournament. Northern Iowa happens. All these things happen. But yeah, there's no reason. I think they're going to end up being a 3 or 4 seed. And if you're a 3 or 4 seed, then it's not just winning a game in the tournament. It's not, you know what I mean?
You got to make the Sweet 16 or it's a disappointment.
I think so.
I'm excited.
Their offense is insane. The fact that they put up, what was it, 112 or whatever it was the other night?
They had like 31 points in like the first, what was it, 2 or 3 minutes the other night?
Like, they gave up 98, which I'm sure they're not thrilled about that part of it. But
if you're scoring 110, who cares?
Yeah, if you're scoring 110 points, you can obviously you'll beat anybody in the country doing that. So
yeah, if someone wants to go, like, all they proved is that if you want to be in a race against them, you can win the race. Like, I don't care if you're a high scoring team like the Chiefs were in the year that 2018, just as long as you can keep up. I know that a lot of times you talk guard play and all this other stuff in the tournament, but like, I can't believe this. Like, for a team that didn't win a SEC game last year, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, or you kind of failed yourself a little bit? Like, you got yourself in trouble. Dennis Gates probably earned himself quite a bit more time there.
Sure. I mean, he deserves it. Yeah. I mean, the turnaround and everything he's done there is pretty remarkable. And they've got a couple more opportunities to get some other. They already have three top five wins, but it's the SEC, so maybe they're in the SEC conference tournament final too, and you can really improve your seed. I don't think they can be any higher than a 3. I don't see a path to getting higher than that.
Not unless they win out. It's always the same thing. Like, sure, win out and you could be a 2 seed, but like, barring, I mean, I'm not saying that's impossible, but barring that kind of long shot, possibly.
You've probably looked at this more than we have, just because for the pods and everything in the tournament, because we won't travel or anything. But like, Missouri probably in Wichita. Is that the thought?
We were just talking about this the other day. I think that could be it. And then we were looking at KU, possibly. It looks like Denver or is it Minneapolis, another location?
I can't remember.
And then, like, there's some that are in driving distance. Milwaukee's one.
Milwaukee, I think, is where Lenardi has them right now going.
I think that's what I'm thinking of. But I don't know. I think there could be, like, games the first round, first two rounds, like, within driving distance. And that'd be really fun to go cover, whether, it, you know, it's KU or Mizzou or whoever.
When was it? Was it, like, when was the last time KU was a lower seed than Missouri?
Well, under Bill Self, they've never been worse than a four. So, yeah.
So no time under Bill Self. So it had to be before
the
that.
The Norfolk State year, what was Missouri's seed?
They were two. And that KU, was a 215, right?
Probably. Yeah. And then KU was a one?
I thought they were a one.
So I don't know if they have been. Again, Bill Self's lowest seed is four. So unless Missouri was, you know, unless the year KU was a four, I don't know if the Missouri was even in the tournament that year. Mm-hmm. I mean, quite honestly. So it's kind of crazy.
I'm just trying to, like, look through it now. It's like,
that's interesting.
But like, Missouri's basketball team, I mean, you just got to think, like, this got to be the first time ever that they've had this kind of edge on Kansas as far as, like, decision of who the better team is.
Well,
that
08.
Not like in general.
Yeah,
or,
that 08, you know, like, 09 year. I don't know. What was their seed that year, Cody? If I don't know, you want to look at 08, 09, they went to the Elite Eight.
There were three.
Okay.
There were three seed. And I you know. 94, they were a one seed. So that's probably
1994.
The answer. 1994 is probably the answer. They were a one seed. They were 8, 8, 9, 9, 12, 6, 3, 10, 12. So the 2012, the Norfolk State year, they were two. So if Kansas was a one that year, every other year they were 9 or 8. They've pretty much been a 9 or 8. They were where Kansas is this year. The roles are reversed. Missouri's a three seed. Kansas is going to be a 7, 8, or 9, I think, is more or less locked in.
Already has
them
as a 7.
We all kind of feel like they're going to be.
I think best they can do now, if for some reason you think they can figure it out, is a 6.
Win out, and
worse is a 9 if they were to lose out.
Yeah, and they're not winning out. Like, same thing.
I mean, why would I believe they can at this point? I mean,
I'm not even sure. Like, are they going to win another regular season game?
Yeah, they're going to win tomorrow.
They're going to win tomorrow.
They'll beat Oklahoma State tomorrow. As far as expectation of the tournament, I mean, I have very little. But
you know what's fun, though? Talking about the women's basketball. So we have KU, K-State this weekend, women's. I know K-State men's team, you know, struggling this season. But the girls have been great, and they've been down Aoka Lee. And then Samaya Nichols, who plays for KU, the local girl, she just had a career, like, she reached 1,000 points at KU in her career in, like, a very small amount of games, like, just behind their top.
I think person. I saw K-State women are potentially one of the top seeds in the tournament, if all continues to go in the direction.
Because last year they hosted the first two rounds in Manhattan because they were a top seed.
So they'll get to do that again this year, then.
Possibly.
Aoka's so good. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. I mean, just like in women's basketball, if you can have a star, you can be kind of at the top of the conference, which
I'm excited.
Matters.
Big 12 tournament coming up.
We got a lot. Big 12 tournament. Soccer's getting ready to start. Baseball's like a month away.
You'll see. You'll be covering it with Drew. Drew will be out there for the Big 12 tourney at T-Mobile Center. You've got a credential.
Love
out there.
Do you still have the credential you picked up from the COVID year?
I think so.
When Alex and I started the show, he got a credential for the Big 12 tournament.
I went to pick up my credential, and within 20 minutes, they canceled the whole Big 12 tournament due to COVID.
I was downtown doing live shots about, like, hey, everybody's excited. Like, let's go. And then I was like, oh, my God, everybody's leaving. Like, what is happening? Oh,
it.
Never mind. No tournament.
Shut down. Good times.
You're bringing happy memories.
What's that?
You're not going to go and watch KU?
I will not be paying money to watch. So if I have a ticket, sure. But I will not be paying money to go to the Big 12 tournament.
Mm-hmm. KU's not earned your dollars this year.
Not this year. I don't think I have one. The Big 12 tournament used to be one of my favorite things as a kid. When the games were now with more teams in the conference, I guess it's that way again. But you go to the day, you skip school for the
day
and you just sit there all day. Well, it used to be one of my favorite things.
Are we still letting kids skip school for sporting events?
Absolutely.
I think so.
Opening day. I don't have kids, so I feel like I can say that.
Look, my general rule of thumb is,
opening day as well. I think opening day is another one.
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't know people are still doing it or not, you know? They take attendance so much more seriously now.
Do you not let your kids skip?
Oh, yeah. They take attendance so much more seriously at the week when they have no school.
Well, that's different, you know?
Yeah. They really make sure those kids are going to school these days.
I let my kids skip. I don't care.
What happens now that they've been out so many days? Do they have to stay longer?
Yeah, they're going to have to stay until, like, June now.
Oh, my.
They're going to have to. They haven't figured it out yet. They haven't officially announced.
Okay.
At least some of them said until June 2nd. In my kid's school district, they're probably, they might just go into June. They might just try to, like, they have, like, teacher days where, like, two Fridays for now, they're supposed to be off of school anyway. Maybe they'll just go to school that day.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So, like, I don't know how they're going to handle it exactly.
Try to make them up somehow. Some way.
This wouldn't change the snow day stuff, but since you mentioned post-Memorial Day, I still think we should do what they do in other parts of the country, which is like, schools should not start until after Labor Day weekend. And then
school
just go
on Labor Day.
Like, it should start after Labor Day weekend and then go into June.
After Labor Day weekend?
Yeah, because
what if it's like, you know, because like sometimes kids are going back to school. September 6th, you know?
But, well, yeah. Yeah, but like sometimes people are going to school like August 12th. That's like right in the, that's when summer is like full force, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. My, like when I was a kid, I think I had the first day of school twice on my birthday because it was like before Labor Day. Because we always went back in like late August.
Yep.
Maybe first couple of days of September when I was in school. It was like pretty close.
I think ours was like August 18th or something, you know, something like that.
My kids were happy to go back to school, Mackenzie.
Yeah,
they were actively angry about how many times we kept telling them they didn't have to go. Aww. One is because we've talked on the show, but my son, who's in kindergarten, got a big crush.
Oh, boy.
And he worked really, really hard on the girl's Valentine, who he has already told he loves to her.
Wow.
And she has reciprocated.
They're in love.
I love you back.
Wow.
Although the first time, I think she just gave him like a couple thumbs up and then later reciprocated it. And then, so yes, I sent them a video like the other day. He just said, he's like, what do you think? He's like, I was like, hey, are you excited to go back to school? He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm excited to see her. I don't want to say her name.
Yeah,
like, I'm excited to see her. I said, well, are you excited to see your t-shirt? Your other friend's like, I'm excited to see them too, but her the most. He's like, I think she's going to see my Valentine, and then she's going to think I'm her boyfriend. And I'm like, okay, just
I told Cody he needed to warn Desmond, though. Like, they haven't seen each other in a week of school.
At that age?
Maybe you go back to school today and she just, you're done. Maybe it's
things
over.
Things are getting chilly?
I'm just saying.
Damn.
You never know at that age.
It can happen quick. A winter break could kill a high school relationship.
That's right. Wow.
She gave a thumbs up the first time, but then
that's
later
great.
Said it back. He wrote it the first time.
Wow.
In fairness, he asked me to say it to her the first time, and I said, that's not how it works.
No.
He's like, will you tell her I'm scared? I said, no. If you're saying it, it's on you.
You got
to
do it.
I'm not like, there is no proxy to say I love you to somebody. You're just going to have to earn that one. Sorry.
Dad, can you do it?
I think when you're six, that sounds like a more reasonable request, you know? You're like, yeah, this makes sense.
Oh, my God. How cute.
He's smitten. I you know what? When he gets off the bus today, I'm gonna have to find out how it goes.
I can't wait to
hear it. I hope it went well for him.
I'm gonna need you to text me. I need an update on this love story.
It's the first thing he's gonna say. He spent so much time. He handmade all of his Valentines.
That's so nice.
And you have to make it for every kid in class, which makes sense.
Okay.
He wrote, I love you in her name on hers. And he put forever, because he was trying to spell himself. F-O-E-V-R. And on every other Valentine he wrote for every other kid in the class, he put, I like you.
So good.
He's like, I'm not playing any games.
Oh,
no man. No one's going to make a mistake this Valentine's Day. He put, I
like
you.
That's incredible.
Oh, that's
smart.
Great.
Kudos, man. Smart.
Where did he learn this from? You?
I don't know.
You smooth?
I don't think so. But he is. Mm. He's got game, apparently. Kindergarten game.
I love it.
It's wild.
You should go home and say he's got Riz, Cody, and to see what he says.
I don't know if he knows Riz yet. He might. Or, he's at that age. My kids say all the regular slang you would think.
Are your
he
kids
says Sigma
saying Sigma? Oh, my God. My niece says it all the time, and I was like, what are you
saying?
And
she's like six, right?
Yeah, she's in kindergarten.
Yeah.
She's like, what, the Sigma?
Yeah,
like,
where did that start? Do we know?
I have no idea.
All the time. It started with like an online YouTube thing.
Of course.
My God. I was like, what is that? She's like, I don't know. I'm like, where'd you learn it? I don't know.
They say it all the time. The ones I have to prevent is like when he, because I, you know, I'm not good about watching my curse words around him.
Oh.
The other day, like, he dropped something. He dropped like a full two-word, like, curse word and was like, hey, that was hard. And I was like, oh, don't say that. You can't. I mean, maybe here, but not out there.
Kindergartners have no problem, like, just being blunt with you.
Yeah. Yeah, they're an honest group.
They're kind of mean.
Honestly, if you're looking for an honest opinion, though,
that's
a pretty good group to get it from. Yeah.
It is a Fan Club Friday here on Cody and Gold. Mackenzie Nelson from 41 joining us in studio. Up next, we'll talk a little Chiefs. We'll ask Mackenzie maybe the priorities for her offseason when it comes to the Chiefs free agency and maybe the draft as well. And then we will fill you in a little bit, Mackenzie, on a crazy deep dive Cody and I took regarding someone that was at the Super Bowl when you were there as well on Media Row. And we'll tell you who that is next. Friday here on 96.5 The Fan. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold. Cody.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's at Drew Nixon with you. We've got our guest today, Mackenzie Nelson from 41, joining us in the studio, talking sports, talking everything else, really. Life. We'll maybe get to the text line later on. I will say, 913-586-7965. People are very happy you're on the show, Mackenzie.
Yay!
Someone says,
good.
Oh, that is the Nelson gal from the news.
Oh,
good
wow.
mix of you all. I'm a fan. Pretty cool. I like her on TV.
Thank you. Wow.
If you'd like to see her on camera, you can on the video stream, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. Someone earlier said...
Mackenzie's like, yeah,
someone
thanks.
Somebody kept moving it closer to me.
Well, I felt like it was too far the first time. And somebody on the message said, hey, put your guest on the camera. I'm sick of looking at your face.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, I mean, I get it. We do have a guest in here, so I'll move the camera. Point taken.
Yeah.
They get to see us for the other 3 hours, you know, on the show on a Friday.
Before we get your perspective maybe on the Chiefs offseason a little bit and Travis Kelce's latest report and you know, audio from his podcast and retirement stuff, we filled you in a little bit during the break because earlier in this week we told the audience about this phony fake media member basically that then lied that they were on the Delta plane crash on Monday. It was not. And fake that he's an NFL player, former NFL player. Fake that he was a special assistant to the Royals, general manager.
That's wild. That.
Have you ever...
Thousand lies,
that's
man.
Wild.
Have you ever heard of somebody doing all this before?
No.
And you
not
know that there's some
all.
People who hype up their credentials in a way.
Sure.
They're like, you don't cover the way you say you cover.
Like, there's a big difference in, like, completely lying about your resume and just kind of, like, spicing it up a little bit. And,
yeah,
you know, making yourself look better.
I mean, say you're in a former NFL defensive end when you're 5'8 or whatever it is, and a special assistant
the best
to the
of
GM,
your time.
Deleting the post that
it's
you.
It's also weird to say that after saying you had 11 and a half career sacks. You can't be one of the best of your era
for
11
if you had 11 and a half sacks, maybe in high school.
Yeah. And then, again, the worst part, and the reason why we went down the rabbit hole was faking that you were on a plane crash.
Yeah.
You
first of all,
okay?
Great investigative journalism by you two.
Thank
I must
you.
Say.
Thank you. We'll be on 41 investigates.
I actually think a local Minnesota station should expose this guy.
Absolutely.
You know, somebody should just do
you
like a deep dive and be like, look at this guy. He's making things up.
Pass it on to them.
I don't even think he went to Turks and Caicos. He posted,
oh,
head to Turks and Caicos. Never. And you've been on beach vacations.
Yeah.
Everybody knows if you go to a beach vacation, you post one of two photos automatic without question.
Yes.
Either a photo of you at said beach, so like the water and this, or the like fruity cocktail
the drink
you're drinking.
That you got. Yep.
Of course. Zero photos.
Yeah.
Said he was going to Turks and Caicos, zero photos. Then claims he was on the plane crash.
And he messed up
Come
the
on.
Details. He
Come
said
on.
He was flying from Toronto to Minnesota. The flight that crashed was from Minnesota.
Said his nickname was The Gear.
Toronto.
Why
yes.
would someone do that?
Well, like, I guess just
lying.
Attention.
He's therapy. He's,
the fact that he lied about all these lied about all these other things. He's just he's just a phony and just thinks
like
he can.
A pathological liar,
that's
but on
clearly.
Another level.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's the only explanation.
That's
I mean, you
insane.
You have like an actual problem.
And he was at the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was
at NFL credentials.
Radio Row and at the game. You might have walked past him.
You said he had a Miles Garrett. He had on.
Great guess. He had Malik Neighbors, Jaden Daniels.
He gets like legit.
What?
It makes no sense, Mackenzie.
What does he tell them? Like, hey, I'm so and so. Like,
well,
come
I think his radio partner is one of the booking agent people who do his podcast partner.
He's
one of the people who run those guests around a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that maybe he's got an in.
He
there.
Has an online show, but his co-host actually is, I think, is legit and host
shows for an actual channel. It's actually called the Disability Channel. His co-host, his story is incredible. Actually, his co-host was like born without legs, and then his parents like abandoned him. Like, it's a crazy story.
And
we think he's getting duped because he said he got off the phone with this Troy guy and heard about the plane crash and how shook up he was, and then the post was deleted later. So we think that he unfortunately is kind of just being used in this whole thing too.
That's horrible.
Someone said he's not lying. He's a real life Forrest Gump.
Awful. Yeah. I mean, just terrible.
He's the world's most interesting man. Like, if he's really was a Chiefs defensive end and a Royal special assistant to the general manager and was on a plane crash. Well, I mean, damn, do a documentary on the guy. Yeah, he leads the most interesting life of all time.
That's right.
This has got to be illegal.
Well, that's what I said. I was like trying to figure out. At the very least, he's screwing investors of his podcast.
Yeah, like, I don't know if he's committed any, it's tough because if you're lying about certain things to get advertisers, then that is probably some sort of fraud, but I don't know. Like, it reminds you of the Ponzi scheme stuff without it being a Ponzi scheme in terms of how people lied throughout and just keep on making up lies. I don't know.
That's just weird.
You know?
I hope he gets the help that he needs.
I don't know. You'll have a chance to.
You're going to go down a deep dive later.
Alex
will send you the screenshots he took of the original post about the plane crash. Because he's obviously deleted those and said nothing since.
But. I'm going to get it to our NBC station. Well, where is he from?
Minnesota. He'll be in town probably this summer. He somehow has finagled his way. He volunteers during the Big Slick stuff. He's got photos with Sudeikis and Rudd and all these guys. So
he'll be in Kansas City. Yes. If Alex and I, so we can get credentialed for that kind of thing. Is it wrong of us to walk around and then just approach him with like three different people saying the same thing, like the gear from the Chiefs, right? You're the gear, right?
Could you imagine if we did that?
And then Alex is like, oh my God, you're that specialist. Didn't you guys work? Did you work for the Royals in 14 and 15?
And then we wanted someone in a Delta Airlines polo, a Delta Airlines polo to walk about.
That's the last person.
I was Sean. I helped get you out of the plane.
Oh my God.
I can't believe I'm seeing you here.
I mean, I would like to be a fly on the wall and see this happen, honestly.
So good.
I don't know if that's wrong. It's okay to expose frauds, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, I don't think it's wrong.
Yeah.
He's doing
things
wrong. Like, you guys are just trying to find the truth.
We're doing it in a mean way if we do it that way, but expose the truth. This is now an investigative journalism show.
Cody and Gold investigates.
Did you ever consider doing like investigative journalism?
I never did. No,
I applied. You guys vlog this, by the way. Just vlog it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. It's like our version of Serial, but a local radio station looks at one person's.
I'll edit it for you guys.
Perfect. All right. I want to ask you about the Chiefs though a little bit. And other than finding the next great defensive end like Troy Geary, what should they do this offseason? Because we were going through the 11 like offensive free agents.
Sure.
I think there's only one, maybe two, that I'm interested in bringing back. Hollywood Brown.
Okay.
And then maybe Justin Watson as a special teams guy. Other than that, like, we went through Kareem Hunt, Juju Smith-Schuster, DeAndre Hopkins, Trey Smith. Like, I'm kind of out on most of them.
I mean, I thought they were great additions to the team this year, but I think they're just getting a little older in age. You know, they're not as productive. And then, I mean, I think the biggest thing is the offensive line. I mean, I didn't know if we were talking about the Chiefs yet, if everybody's recovered and, you know, is it safe to talk about them? That was just horrible. I have no words to describe what we watched that Sunday.
The problem is a lot of teams I think can get embarrassed and you just say, hey, tear down, restart.
Sure.
Let's figure out what went wrong. They were in three straight Super Bowls, won two of them. Had this embarrassing one been in the middle, I don't think the reaction is the same.
Yeah.
If they win one, get embarrassed in the second, win the third, and it's still two out of three just like this, attending three straight Super Bowls, and one is in embarrassing fashion in which they don't reset everything, I think it's fairly obvious. They got a couple of big problems, and one of them is namely at the offensive line, but none of that held them back from getting to the actual game.
Right.
Had the Eagles, who almost lost in their first game of the postseason, just got upset for whatever reason, you probably still go on to win the Super Bowl and don't run into this problem. I don't think it takes overhaul other than the offensive line.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the biggest thing. I think you have to get an entire new offensive line. I don't care.
Other than Creed, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but Juwan Taylor's not going anywhere because of contract or whatever.
But I think you've got to do something. And what was the most confusing to me on Super Bowl Sunday was that first half. It's like, okay, let's just get out of the first half. This is awful. Let's go into halftime. You have a little bit of extra time with the performance at halftime and then regroup, come back out a different team. Nothing changed in the second half. They came out and did the exact same thing, and it was like, what is happening? Why are we not changing anything? Why, like, nothing happened.
Yeah, there was no adjustment.
They took a break and then came back
so,
out.
No, I'm so, like, put Juwan Taylor left.
Move some people. Juwan, yeah, I mean, exactly.
There were no bad ideas when
DJ
it was 24-0.
I mean,
and they
so
didn't even try new ideas.
If Mackenzie Nelson was the general manager of the Chiefs, whether it's fixing the O-line or whatever, what are you doing? Tell me your solution, your plan.
Your just three-stage plan.
Okay. I would say left tackle, you have to get a new left tackle. You have to.
Okay.
Yeah, you doing that through the draft or free agency?
I say draft one.
Okay.
So you're trading up?
Yes.
Okay.
Trading up, you have to get a left tackle. As far as keeping some of the guys Alex mentioned, I don't think you have to keep them. I think you can replace them with other guys. I don't know.
No, I mean, on the offensive side, we maybe one guy that's a free agent.
We said, like, if it's even a one-year deal, there's a lot of players sure I would turn down. Like Kareem Hunt and Juju.
Hollywood
McCole.
Brown would be good to bring back, but Kareem Hunt, as great as he was, I don't think he should return. And then DeAndre Hopkins.
The trickiest player that I wonder where his market will be on the defensive side, Charles Omenihu, I would love back in Kansas City. We played some audio from Kay Adams' show earlier today, and he said, you know, his number one priority is playing in big games, but then he also said, hey, I got to also take care of my family, too. So I don't know if other teams will be able to offer him more money, but I think if you look at the Chiefs' defensive line, if they don't bring back Charles Omenihu, then I think it means they're probably using their first-round pick actually on a defensive lineman.
I can see that.
Corner is the other one people are going to mention.
Mm-hmm.
Same three positions every year. Tackle, corner, defensive end.
Never
it's like
too
the
many.
Same three positions that everyone wants to draft every year in the first
I think
round.
They got to switch it up. I think you got to get a left tackle. And then if they do that, you got to get someone on defense. I don't think Charles Omenihu is going to be back.
Okay.
That's just me. I don't
think it's
so
too
I think they're going, yes. And I think they're just going to have to find somebody else. And because I think there's some other guys that you need to try and keep.
Who else? Yeah, okay. So Trey Smith, of course, is a free agent. Nick Bolton, some of the other names we haven't brought up. Would you try to keep both of them or one of them, or would you let them go?
I would like to keep both of them. But if I had to choose, I would probably say Trey Smith. Keep him, as sad as that
is. He's the better player. I just think he's going to be so...
He's going to be very
outpriced
expensive.
To Kansas City,
I want
right?
you to take the best friend discount. Him and Creed Humphrey are best friends.
Yes.
Take the best friend discount.
Yes.
Do you like being with your best friend at work every day?
Yeah.
Your best friend moved away.
If I had unlimited money, yes, I would like to keep Trey Smith.
Of course.
But, I mean, Nick Bolton's great. He's been great for the defense. I mean, he's the quarterback of the defense. Like, it would be amazing to have him come back because he knows the defense so well, and him and Spags have that great relationship. And that's.
I think it's way more likely Bolton's back, though, for the reasons you presented financially is the biggest thing. Because Nick Bolton, heck, you could even let him go test the market a little bit, and he realizes maybe it's not as rich as he thought. Whereas Trey Smith, we know he's going to get whatever he wants, basically, on the open market.
The way you guys are describing free agents, just out of curiosity, is this how dating also works? Where you're like, you know what, I'm going to cast them back out in the world. They're going to find out they're not so cool anyway. And maybe they'll have some more realistic expectations about what dating really is.
Maybe.
Because you're describing it in a way that is like it's so business. Like, it'd be like, I've been with this person for a while. They think they can get any person they want. They are wrong. I'm gonna cast them back into the world to find out what that's like.
I mean,
feels like not the worst strategy, honestly. Wake up call. I think people do that to themselves sometimes.
Probably.
They think they're better than the person they date. They go and see what it's really like. And like,
it's like, okay, is the grass greener?
Mm. It's that tweet of the really famous like tweet meme where the guy was like, you do not want to be out here. I've been out here for a while. That's not where
you
want to
be. You don't want to be out in these streets.
we ask you then, how are the apps? How's the dating life treating you?
You know this. I've never been on an app.
Oh,
I will
right,
not
right.
get on an app.
That's right.
I actually respect it.
I can't. I say that. One of my best friends has been on an app. Okay, she's gone on, I think, a couple dates with three different guys in the last, let's say, 3 months.
Okay.
She'll go on a handful of dates and then ghost.
She'll get ghosted or she's ghosting them?
She's getting ghosted.
Yes. And I'm like, and she's so sweet and so cute.
Were
and
the
like,
dates, like, did she say they went bad?
Yes. One of the dates introduced her to his parents.
Oh!
And ghosted her?
Yes.
Whoa!
I know.
On the first... On the first date?
They went out, I think, four times.
On the fourth date?
And already did the parents in four dates and then ghosted?
Yes, because she called me and she's like, isn't that a little weird to be meeting parents that early? I was like, yes, it is. Red flag.
Very weird.
Depending on like how old you get, like maybe that happens a little faster because you understand, like, but not four dates. Four dates.
That's
crazy.
Absolutely insane.
But I hear her stories like from the dating apps and like some of my other friends that are on there. And I'm like, absolutely not. Like if someone tells me they love me, I'm going to do what your son does. Or the girl.
Thumbs up. Thumbs up.
She needed some time on it. She had to think about it for a minute.
Yeah, the I respect it. The fourth date, saying, hey, look, we're going to meet my parents on the fourth date is crazy. This is not The Bachelor, you know, The Bachelorette, where it's like, hey, you know, 3 weeks in, you are meeting their parents. A little bit different. This is a reality TV show here.
I think if my younger brother brought a girl home to meet my parents after four dates, my parents would be like, what?
I think if it's like, if it happens naturally, as in like, I think it's different. Like, I think they're exceptions,
you, like,
right?
You run into them.
They come in town once a year and they happen to be in town.
Yeah,
and
they
we're going
to
go get brunch, right? Like, I think there are exceptions.
Cody,
I think they're probably exceptions to the rule.
This was just wild.
But even in your example of, like, if they're in town, I would say, hey, I've only got on four dates with this gal. Hey, my parents are coming to town. We're going to have to do, like, let's try this. I would just schedule the date a different day. Like, you're not even that deep into the relationship yet. Your parents are in town once a year. Go have dinner with your parents without the person you've talked to for 3 weeks. You know
what
I mean?
We should dive into this more, Alex, so you don't want to introduce anyone to your parents.
Not four dates in, Mackenzie.
A month, 2 months, 3 months? What's the timeline, you know?
Well, so I dated this girl that, I think about a month and a half in, I had lunch with her mom, I think.
Okay.
I think it was about a month and a half in.
Did you feel weird or was it normal?
She was continually asking, when is she going to meet my parents? I thought it was a little too soon at that time.
And a month and a half? Probably met her mom.
No, before.
Oh, interesting.
So about a month in. And I thought at the time that was too soon. But I think some of that, everybody's going to have a different answer on.
Some people are more protective of their parents.
I definitely think it's got to at least be a month and five dates or something before you're...
In a lot of ways, I actually feel like you could jump up the timeline on that because this is how dating is when you're like 17 or 18 anyway.
Yeah.
They got to come pick you up at the house. You exchange pleasantries for a few minutes.
You have that awkwardness.
You get a vibe whether they hate you or don't. Yes. And you got to kind of like move past it. I'm not saying have like a full-blown 3-hour, 10-course dinner.
Yeah.
I'm just saying like meet them in a casual setting.
I'm just so weirded out. My friend, we're not in high school. Like, we're 33 years old. If you go on a couple dates and you're like, oh, I'm not really feeling this person, just say
for sure.
Like, you're an adult. You can be like, hey, it was fun, but I'm just really not interested. Like, you just ghost? Like, how old are we?
Yeah, I mean, it's one text. Now you have a cell phone. Before you had to, like, call somebody or, like, physically
check.
Text is better than nothing.
Yeah, and then you can always block the person. Like, there are so many other things you could do, but to just, like, not respond.
Yeah, like,
wild.
After we've all gone on one date and you can just tell right away, and then sometimes you just naturally stop texting each other, and then it's just over. That's not really ghosting
not
after
three or
one.
Four dates,
but not, not if you've gone on multiple dates in a row.
Yes.
Not if you had dinner a few times.
I will not be on any apps.
So she has not talked you into getting on the apps, it sounds like.
No, nobody will ever talk me into getting on the apps. Ever.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Again,
it's a scary place to be.
Especially for women, it seems like a nightmare.
Yeah.
Dating apps in general, both sides of the coin here. I would say that it's not just not great either way. Like,
I mean, I know people who have met on the apps and are married and very happy.
Yeah.
And
sure.
It worked out great.
I
mean, it certainly does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's probably the key. Mm-hmm. It's like, does it work? Like, is this my introduction? Mm-hmm. Like, am I cool with that?
And some apps are better than there's one or two that are just stay away from.
Well, like what are the odds? Okay, like of how many of these dates actually end up in like long-term relationships from meeting on an app? You know what I mean? Like, I know there's a lot of people that have met on apps, but like.
The conversion rate?
Yeah.
Let's make this a football conversation.
I would like to know.
What are the chance? You know, how often are you converting that into a long-term relationship?
Right, exactly.
You know?
Well, I'm sure they have the data for that. I'm sure those companies have some of that. Let's see. Here we go. According to Pew Research Center,
around
10% of people in committed relationships or marriages met their partner on a dating site or app. 10%.
This is like, that's starting to sound like finding a left tackle out of the first round, though.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Slim.
Out of the first 20 picks. I'm not saying you can't find it, I'm just saying your odds of finding it there seem lower. That's all.
It's like winning the lottery.
I mean, what, it's not that bad.
It's
not that bad. I mean, it's not good, but it's not good. That bad. You know.
Yeah. It might be because I was in college, but I think I met my wife in, like...
On an app, right?
Well, yes, but I think we met... I met her. I met her mom maybe a week or two after. So at the time, so I was in college still. She was living at home. She was out of college, or not in college.
So you had to go to her house.
Yeah, I went to the house to pick her up.
Okay, that makes sense.
And I first dated my wife in seventh grade. I met her parents probably the first time we hung out.
Yeah, I think it just naturally came up where I would come and ring the doorbell. Somebody else would answer because Brie was getting ready.
They'd say, "Oh, come in for a second."
Say, "Oh, hey, how's it going?" To me, I almost don't find it very awkward because maybe that's because I'm an overly nice person. I met her sister. I met.
But you guys met on an app. I forgot about that.
That's right.
No, which app?
Tinder.
That is so
strange. Tinder's way trashier now than I think what it was. Like,
and you guys weren't at the same school or anything, right? Just the same city?
Same city. This is 2018, though. 7 years ago, Tinder was not as.
Did you have a good opening line or something? Do you remember?
We just matched and we just started texting. I don't think there was no opening line. There was nothing other than just communication.
Just immediate love.
They just knew.
They found love immediately.
He's told the story. Tinder and an Applebee's date, and now they're married.
Oh my God. That's fabulous.
I think people set too high a standards for first or second or third dates. We're in the testing process of this.
I don't need to be doing
2-hour dinners that cost $400.
Because what if you don't like them?
It's probably different, though, because so I met her when I was, 20 and in college.
Applebee's date, that was fancy.
Probably different if you meet when you're, Gold's age or McKenzie's age. It's hey, we're in our 30s. Let's go to a nicer place.
They want to make sure that you're an established adult,
McKenzie's age?
Sure.
Wow. You're just younger than... You're just younger than Drew's... Drew's still in his 20s.
That was
you're
very 30.
You're still in your 20s?
That was rude of me. I'm very sorry.
It's not rude. It's okay.
I'm in my 40s.
My niece asked me what the lines on my forehead were the other day.
Wow.
And now you send Mackenzie's age.
In fairness, I think he said
she's
Alex
straight
and
to
McKenzie's
the retinol
age.
Aisle. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She was just
immediately.
It was paired together.
That's rude.
If you're my
age. It's okay,
age,
Drew. It's okay.
Hold on, let me say it.
You guys aren't that far apart. You're like 4 years apart. You might have been in high school at the same time. You're talking about her like she's a grandmother.
Let me save it. If you're my age, if you're still in your 20s, if you're 28, 29, it still doesn't matter. Like, if you're an adult, like I was in college. Didn't have a job, still taking classes. You're 28, you're an adult, you've been an adult for 7 years,
you hopefully have
your life together a little bit.
Text line's all over Drew right now. All over Drew.
Someone
says, come on, bro.
I'm very sorry.
True.
I feel bad now.
Don't feel bad.
It's like one of those things you say and you immediately regret because you know that you didn't realize you said it.
When you're my age, you're like, damn.
Someone says they met their wife on Match.com.
Good for you.
Wow,
Match.com,
awesome.
Baby married for 13 years.
I know plenty of people who've met on the apps.
How do you guys feel about people meeting your parents without you there?
For the first time.
No.
I'm not going into details. I'm just curious.
I gotta be a buffer.
This happened.
My family's nuts too. I don't need.
Wouldn't you let your parents meet your significant other for the very first time without you?
No.
That seems like a bad idea.
Like when my mom was alive. No. My dad now. I don't think.
Did this happen with a family member?
I don't want to put that on.
But somebody you know met. A family
was
member.
Was it a family
before.
Member?
That's crazy.
Not a family member.
Oh,
no.
I was going to say, but it wasn't Brian or something.
No, it's not Brian or Matt.
Okay.
You went to high school with
Brian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alex, we all went to high school together.
You did.
Not weird.
Not you and Drew, though. You guys were like 30 years apart in high school.
Whoa. Settle down.
Goodness. Mackenzie, thanks for. I'm sorry, Mackenzie.
I will be back. It's fine.
Thanks for hanging out with us. That was fun.
I'm going to apologize the next time you come around, too, because I'm going to remember this.
I'm going to need you to apologize 10 more times.
Okay. I will. I promise.
Hope everybody has a great weekend. Enjoy some Royals baseball. Here in about 10 minutes, first pitch is at 2:05, Royals first spring training game of the year. Daniel Lynch on the bump, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday right here on 96.5 The Fan.